This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
On today's broadcast, our topic is personal prophecy. Personal prophecy is thought to be God's heart to your ear, God's mouth to your ear. Now, not all Christians value or believe in personal prophecy, but as I see it, it's in the Bible and it's real. But what can happen from the time it is delivered to you, a personal prophecy, and you actually see the prophecy fulfilled in your life? Today, Dennis Kramer teaches from the Bible examples of what can happen from the time you receive the prophecy to the time it's fulfilled. Or what should you do or what can you do until you see the prophecy fulfilled? So today we will focus on various highlights of Dennis's teaching. So here he is, Dennis Kramer.
Praise the Lord. So glad to be here, and I really am. I also often say that I'm honored. I don't know how to break this to you, but I'm not in the ministry to be popular. If you are, you better find another. I never signed up to be popular. I signed up to be faithful.
That's right.
Right? And if you can't handle rejection in the ministry, you better find something else, especially if you want to be prophetic. So I've had some folks in my travels over the years who have not liked what I've said. And here's my response. I understand. I'm not defensive. I'm not insecure. I'm not threatened. You don't scare me. I'm not fearful if you don't like me or if you don't like what I prophesy. I understand. And I believe, and I'm telling you now, that there is a safety net under the prophetic. You get to judge it. If you don't like what I prophesy this afternoon, judge it inaccurately and go on with your life. I do not take myself seriously, but what I do for God, I take extremely seriously, and I am going to be accountable for every prophetic word I speak. That's what prophets have to be if they're going to be prophets. But at the other end of the spectrum, if I say something to you and you don't like it, you know, God bless you. You have every right to say, I don't like Denny, and I don't like what he had to say. Here's what I have found. I have found that intellectual Christians have trouble with prophets. I have found that rigid Christians have trouble with prophets. I have found that religious Christians have trouble with prophets. So the intellectual, the rigid, and the religious. Come on. And I have found that Christians with agendas have trouble with prophets. They want us to endorse their agendas. And I found that if a prophet hints that you might need to improve, that maybe God would want you to do better at what you do. If he even suggests that maybe you're not perfect, guess who we take it out on? The prophets. Welcome to the ministry. So I am saying all that to say this. Do yourselves a favor and receive the prophets not only when they're telling you what you want to hear, but when they're telling you what you may not want to hear. Okay? Which leads me to my second verse. Please turn to the book of Hebrews. So my first verse was Jeremiah 23. God's word can be like a fire, and it can be like what? A hammer. Hebrews chapter 3. Yeah. Got my sneakers on. Don't feel so religious. Don't feel so rigid. Just good being with y'all. Hebrews chapter 3 is a fascinating chapter. I'd like you to look at verse 7 with me. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. Now, what I'm about to read to you is something that the Holy Spirit says a lot. What I'm about to read to you is something that the Holy Spirit says every day. I believe this reveals something of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says this, today, if you will hear his voice. Everyone say today.
Today.
Today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. And this is the beginning of my message, even though it's really not in the notes. Today, if you will hear his voice, please do not harden your hearts. Look down in verse 15. Again, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. And if you turn the page and look at verse 7, again in chapter 4, it says, today, today, if you will what? Hear his voice. I want to say to each of you that I believe hearing the word of the Lord is a daily experience. Someone say amen. Amen. I believe that hearing the voice of the Lord is a daily discipline. It is even a skill that must be worked on. I believe that hearing the voice of the Lord is a responsibility that you have as a leader. I believe that hearing the voice of the Lord is even a requirement of being a believer. I believe it is a privilege. It is a now thing, a current thing, a today thing. And so I want you this morning to forget the morning. I want you to forget lunch and the afternoon and the evening. And I want you to hear the word of the Lord today, right here and right now. I want this to be a today word. Today, do you have ears to hear? Today, right now, at this very moment, can you hear? Can you hear what the Lord is saying? And I believe you can. And I believe we're going to have a great time in the Word of God this morning. So, here we go. I want to minister this morning out of Psalms 105. Here we go. Psalms 105 and verse 19. In fact, let's start in verse 17. Notice verse 17. He sent a man before them. Well, the he in verse 17 is referring to God. Verse 17, Psalms 105. God sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as what? A slave. Now, the circumstances around Joseph's life is going to be very important for us this morning with this today, if you will not harden your heart, and if today you will hear what the Lord is saying, word for you as leaders. The story of Joseph is going to be very important. So in verse 17, God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as what? A slave. That's very important for our message. Verse 18, they hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. And by the way, all of that happened after he was prophesied to in two dreams. Verse 19, and until the time that his prophetic word came to pass, and it did. And so will yours. Prophecy is real. It works. It will come to pass in time. Verse 19, until the time that his word came to pass, underline this in your Bibles. The word of the Lord tested him. It didn't say the devil tested him. Some of you are going through stuff right now and you think it's the devil. It ain't the devil. God is testing you. Well, why? Because you need it. In our country, we have building standards. You know what they do? They test everything before they use it to build. So, was tested. So, I'm trying to tell you, God builds the same way. He tests those he uses. Are you getting me? He's going to find out whether you're going to believe him. So, I'm here to tell you, it's not the devil after you to destroy you or to neutralize your prophets, your prophecies. It's God finding out what you're made of. Because he only uses tested material. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just being tested. And either we've got to rewrite the Bible to suit our current contemporary concept of God, or we've got to get back to understanding God never changes. And if you've been called, you're going to be tested. Because that God's not going to let anyone build on you unless he knows you can take it. So cheer up. God is in control. God is on your side. Everything's going to be all right. You're just being tested. Isn't that all right? So we know that it was not the devil that was testing Joseph. We know it was God. Well, how do we know that? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 43, I think. Genesis 45. But I want you to get this. This is a today word. Today, if you will, you know, hear. Today, if you will open your hearts. I just feel like this is a today word. Because, you know, either Christianity is real or it isn't. Right? Either Jesus was a maniacal lunatic or he was the Son of God, right? And everything he said was true. Well, I happen to believe everything he said was true, right? And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I believe there are absolutes, and I believe the kingdom of God is permeated with absolutes. And I believe that this works. It's supposed to work. Amen. And so I want you to get this. I believe that what we're talking about is how to handle the prophetic, how to handle prophecies in your life. I'm no different than you. I've got prophecies that are 20, 25, 30 years old in my life, and they haven't come to pass. And my life is going in the opposite direction of them. And so I had to reconcile that through the scriptures. And the scriptures make it very clear. The devil is not destroying your prophecies. Most likely, God is testing them. And I'm going to prove to you in the life of Joseph, look in verse 5. It says, this is Joseph speaking, and we all know these verses, Genesis 45, 5. This is Joseph speaking. In fact, in verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, if we wouldn't read on, you would think the next thing Joseph is going to do is say, man, you guys really wronged me. You would think that Joseph would now go into a dissertation about how Satan, how the devil did all these horrible things to Joseph. The devil sent me to Egypt, and the devil put me in employment with Potiphar, and the devil put a spirit on me and got me in jail, and the devil. And you want to know what? Joseph never said that. And some of you got to change your tune. The devil's not sovereign. The devil's not omnipresent. Hello. The devil's not omniscient. Hello. God is all those things, not the devil. And you don't live for the devil, and you don't serve the devil, and he's not in control of your life. God is. Look at verse 5. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. What a guy. What a guy Joseph was. He was telling his brothers that just got, you know, through years ago, throwing him into the pit and selling him to the Midianite slave traders. And he said, hey, guys, get over it. I'm not holding it against you. You know why? Because Joseph knew who God was. Joseph knew God was in charge of his life. Can I say something? If man takes something from you, then man probably gave it to you. If God gives you something, nobody can take it from you. Hello. Joseph knew what God had given him. He knew his destiny. And he said, brothers, you can't take it from me. God gave it to me. I'm so confident of this. I'm telling you, get over it. Let it go. It's okay. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm 52 right now, and I want to get away from bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and hard feelings and issues and attitudes. And I want to get away from having enemies, and I want to get away from problems and strife. And if you don't like me, I don't mind anymore. You know, if you don't like what I prophesy, I don't mind anymore. If you don't like my books, I don't mind anymore. If you don't bring me back to your church again, I don't mind anymore, because I know who I please. And that's what you need to have as a leader. It doesn't matter whether the people like you. It matters whether your employer likes you. Amen? And Joseph knew his employer. Look in verse 5. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. What an incredible statement. Can you say that God has brought you to this point in your life? I want you to. I want you to say, in spite of all the setbacks, in spite of all the delays, in spite of all the disasters, in spite of all the betrayals, in spite of all the abandonment, in spite of all the injustice, in spite of all the injustice, in spite of the cursing, come on, in spite of all this, we as leaders need to say, God did this. God's in charge of my life. He brought me through this. He saw it coming. Joseph said in verse 6, for these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plow nor harvesting. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. He said it again. He said it was God. Word of Faith folks, and I respect you if you are one, but Word of Faith folks can't preach this message. They can't believe that God would do this, but he did. In verse 7, it says God. In verse 8, same thing. So now, it was not you who sent me. What an amazing statement. Because you would have said, yeah, it was his brothers. No, listen to what he said. So now, it was not you who sent me here. That's just amazing to me. That's just amazing to me. After all he had been through, he said, you guys didn't send me here. My brothers, you know, the ones that betrayed me and threw me in the pit and sold me. You know the ones, you guys didn't send me here. God. He didn't once say it was the devil. Three times, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, he said, God has sent me here and he, God, has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler through all the land of Egypt. Verse 9, hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. Wow. I want you guys to get your eyes on God today. I want you to see that God has everything under control. I want to minister on Psalms 105 and verse 19. Let's turn back to it again. Psalms 105 and verse 19. I want to read this verse out of three versions of the Bible. You may have a little different version, but I want to read it to you out of three different versions. Psalms 105 and verse 19. Psalms 105, 19 in the New King James Version says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Notice, not the word of Satan, not the word of hell, the word of what? The Lord. The word of the Lord tested him. Listen to these two additional translations. In the Living, it says, until God's time finally came, everyone say finally, how God tested his patience. Until God's time finally came, his patience. Listen to this translation, it's my favorite. Until the time that his utterances were actually fulfilled, the promise of the Lord tested Joseph. Now, here is the Dennis Kramer translation. Listen carefully. I've translated this verse. Until your prophecies come to pass, your prophecies are going to test you. That's why I've advocated and said for years, sometimes after you hear from God, you may wish you hadn't. Sometimes after you hear from God, you may wish you hadn't. Until the word of the Lord came to pass. What was it that tried Joseph? The word of the Lord. So, I would like to minister on that expression, until the time. That's the only thing I want to minister to you about today, is three words, until the time, until the time, until the time. Many of you are living in the until the time. So, regarding your personal prophecies, I'm talking to each of you, regarding your personal prophecies, what typically happens to them and to you during this critical until the time period? That's exactly what we're going to look into. See, I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid to address our struggles. I'm not afraid to be open, to be honest. A lot of you have unfulfilled prophecies in your life, and you're wondering, tick, 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 are we ever going to see them? Some you will, some you won't. Some were God, some were not. Some you act on, some you don't. And I'm going to talk about what you don't do and what you do with your personal prophecy. Because it is real, and these things are important. So, regarding your personal prophecies, what typically happens to both them and to you during this until the time period? Poor Joseph had to go through it, but we can learn from his experiences. Amen? We can benefit from his knowledge. Now, you've heard the expression, in the meantime. Well, we're going to take a look at what happens to you and to your personal prophecies during your prophetic meantime, which, as we've learned from the example of Joseph and David, can last for years. Hallelujah. But I want to encourage you, I'm an encourager. You're here because you're called. You're here because you've got something to do for God. You're here because you have powerful prophetic evidence in your life of an awesome future and a destiny in God. You're not there yet, but I want to tell you, you're well on your way. You're on the road, you're on the right track, but I've got to get you to understand you might need to play a greater part in the fulfillment process than some of you have thought. So I'm going to talk about one category of prophecy that you do nothing with, and we'll talk a lot about that, but then I believe I'm here to stir some of you to get up, and I'm going to talk about a second category of prophecy where you may need to do something with this second category of prophecy. I'm not advocating self-fulfillment, but I am advocating cooperating a little bit more with some prophetic words in your life. Okay, so why is this phrase until the time or in the meantime so important? Well, again, because the meantime may last for years. And you need to be clear on the following. What is your ongoing role regarding your personal prophecies? You have an ongoing role. Some of you have thrown tapes in the drawer and not done a thing with them in years. Shame on you. Don't you blame the prophet. Don't you blame God. Don't you blame your pastor or whatever. Come on. There is an ongoing role that you must play with your personal prophecies. See, Christians don't want responsibilities. They want fun. They want prosperity. They want healing. They want God to do for them what they want God to do for them. They think God is a butler, a heavenly butler, and they can ring the bell and God is going to do wonderful things for them. Well, that's partly true, but the kingdom of God is also full of what? Responsibilities. Amen? And one of those responsibilities is, what do you do with your personal prophecies? You have a responsibility to respond to them. So, you have an ongoing role in your personal prophecies fulfillment. You have an ongoing prophetic responsibility, just like what I do. I'm going to teach you what I do. And you're going to learn what you are required by God to do. And we are going to help you to learn what not to do during this ever-important until the time or meantime period of time. Why? Because it may, in fact, it probably will last for years. Mostly, what do you do during this until the time? What am I going to do in the meantime? Well, number one, you're going to wait. Someone said that's not what I wanted to hear. You're going to wait. But I got to say something to you, and please hear me. Waiting is not passive, it is active. I didn't say retire. I didn't say hibernate. I didn't say become dormant. I said wait. And if we look at the example of Joseph and David and even Jesus, we're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. Remember, my message is until the time, until God fulfills your words, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're not going to sit home and watch TV. You're going to do something for God, but in that, you're still waiting. Because waiting is active. It's the hardest thing I have to do. I want to do. I want to produce. I want to solve problems. I want to accomplish. I want to achieve. Get what I'm saying? And God wants me to wait. Man, it hurts. So in the meantime, until the time that your personal words are fulfilled, you're going to wait, but it is an active time nevertheless. Some of you may have a misconception. Well, I'm just waiting on my prophecies. Well, what are you doing? Nothing. You're going to miss God by a mile. It is a productive time. We're going to look into the life of Joseph and David and Jesus, and we're going to see that they were productive during their until the time period. Some of you are living in like a bubble. You're living in kind of a zone where you're just, you know, you've got awesome prophecies over here that haven't come to pass over here, and you're just kind of hanging out. Not at all. As we wait on the Lord, we are to be active in the things of God. We are to be productive. We are to be fruitful. I know people who have put their whole lives on hold waiting for prophecy to come to pass. They've missed something along the way. For example, and I mean this lovingly, women come to me all the time and say, you know, I got a prophecy in 1979 about my husband and I. Now, he left me after that, and he's been remarried now for 27 years, but I'm just waiting for that prophecy to come to pass. We're going to be reunited, and we're going to be in the ministry together like that prophecy said in 1979. It will never happen. I know people that are waiting for something that's never going to happen. They've misunderstood the purpose of the prophetic. It's not a magic wand. That person nullified that prophecy by breaking the marriage vow. Can they come back? I'm sure they do on occasion. Maybe one out of 25, but the other 24 gals that have come to me telling me they're waiting, they're doing nothing. They're doing nothing with their lives, waiting. They're lonely. Their children never had a father. They don't have any income. Their lives are mess. Why don't you do something with your life? Get married. Oh, no. There was a prophecy spoken in 1983 that my husband and I would be in ministry. Well, where is he? Oh, he's had four girlfriends, and the one he's living with now is not his, you know, wife. And, well, what are you waiting on? It ain't going to happen. I hear the Lord saying, wake up and smell the roses. And some of you have done similar things with prophetic words, and I'm trying to get you to understand that you need to be active in the meantime. Until the time that God fulfills good, legitimate words, you need to do something with your life. You need to be active. You need to be productive. You need to be fruitful. Man, you know why Jesus cursed the fig tree? Because it was supposed to be fruitful. Get what I'm saying? It was a lesson. You're supposed to be fruitful. That fig tree should have been fruitful, and it wasn't. Jesus curses unfruitfulness. I said, Jesus curses unfruitfulness. Don't you think God won't pass you by, church that I love? But He will, because He's going to use whoever's available. If you ain't available, He'll use somebody else. So while we're waiting, we need to be active. While we're waiting, we need to be productive. I didn't say be a performer. I said be a producer. Isn't that good? In case you didn't know, you were put on this earth to produce. And so while we're waiting on these, you know, this meantime period of time, on this until the time period, we need to be active. We need to be productive. We need to be fruitful. We even need to be successful. You know, when I got saved as a hippie in 1971, there was a lot of hippiness in the kingdom of God. But there was a lot of hippiness left over in the church. And I remember, you're going to laugh at me, but I remember getting saved and nothing else mattered, you know, but the kingdom of God and the call of God. And none of us, you know, we dropped out of college. Come on. Didn't need to go to school anymore, right? You know, didn't need a good job because, you know, God didn't have, you know, lawyers and doctors back then. You know, everyone that was of God was a minister. Come on, probably a pastor. Get what I'm saying? How many know what I mean? We had a very narrow view of what God was doing, right? And we just didn't think straight. We just didn't think right. And so many of us forfeited years of productivity. Get what I'm saying? And I feel like there is some of that still in the church. Well, what are you doing while you're waiting? Well, bless God, we're just waiting for God to move. I'm going to say something. I mean, I know I'm being bold and brash. God is waiting for you to move. God is waiting for you to move. I'm prophesying. I can feel something on what I just said. I'm telling you, God is waiting for you to move.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rohn.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry.
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rohn, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.